Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, June 6th, to welcome two guests to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Christina and Bill Hickman. The Hickmans are new members of Mountain Brook Baptist, and I can't wait for you to hear more about their life and their faith at the end of the podcast. But first, they'll read God's Word for us. Thank you, Christina and Bill, for joining us today.
We appreciate you having us, and we're going to be reading Acts 16, starting at 25, and this is going to be from the NIV version. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for the lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in the house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family.
And our next passage is Luke 4, 1 through 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time.
And our final passage is Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 8. "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest."
Thank you so much, Bill and Christina, for joining the podcast, for reading so beautifully for us. We want to get to know you better. Did you both grow up in Birmingham?
No, I was born here, but I grew up in Shreveport, Louisiana, and it's kind of a coincidence. I went to First Baptist Church of Shreveport, and my first pastor was actually Dr. Hull.
I did not know that. Is that how you got connected ultimately with Mountain Brook Baptist?
It was really more of a coincidence. You know, we visited a lot of different churches, but I always knew that in the back of my mind that he was a part of the fellowship here.
Christina, did you grow up in Birmingham?
No, I grew up in a small town of no consequence, unless you were fortunate enough to be from Lewisdale, Mississippi.
Okay, I'm from a small town too.
And that's a little nod to Pride and Prejudice. I knew you loved the movie.
I do.
But yeah, it's just a small town near the coast of Mississippi. So went to Ole Miss from Lewisdale, and then eventually went to Chattanooga for University of Tennessee at Chattanooga, and then for work ended up in Birmingham.
And what do you do?
So I'm an accountant, and really exciting. You know, I'm the fun person at a dinner party, but it's just interesting, though, how life will, you know, lead you down different paths. And Birmingham's been my home since 2003. So,
and Bill, tell me where you went to college and then how you made your way to Birmingham.
I went to Auburn University. My grandfather was a big Auburn fan, and so I followed in his footsteps. But I ended up in Birmingham as my grandparents and aunts and uncles, you know, a lot of cousins, everybody was in Birmingham. So it was a natural place to go after college.
And what do you do for a career?
I work for the Barber Companies. I'm a leasing agent who helps lease Mr. Barber's portfolio.
How did you guys meet? And I know you were married how many months ago or a year ago? When's your anniversary?
So it's November 1st, All Saints Day.
Okay.
So that's nice. And yeah, so it's been over 6 months. So it's been an exciting fun 6 months.
Okay, so let's back up. How did you meet, and then how did you know that you wanted to spend your lives with each other?
We met from a blind date that was set up. Went to a random barbecue and met one of Christina's friends, and she said, "You need to meet my friend Christina." And so from there, it was really at the beginning of COVID, and so she didn't really have any other opportunities, and so we spent a lot of time going on walks, and you know, really couldn't go out anywhere, and so we got to get to know each other just from spending a lot of time outside, and everything moved pretty quick.
Our first date was March 19th, 2020, and so it was right as everything shut down, and so it really did give us a lot of quality time together because we didn't have competing priorities, you know, or focuses. Like, it was, you know, really a great, sweet time to meet each other. So,
and Wayne was able to do your wedding ceremony, and it was so beautiful. I would love if you would set the scene for us.
Oh, yeah. It really was just such a sweet wedding, and it was exactly what we both wanted. It was set at the Grand Hotel in Point Clear, Alabama, and that's a place that's been very, again, back to nostalgia. It was just a very sweet place for my family. And, you know, I just was blessed to have the opportunity to get married there. And it was just awesome to be serenaded by the string quartet and hear the waves of the bay and just really have all of our close family there where we could have the people that we grew up with and that has poured so much into us to be there and to celebrate with us. And Pastor Wayne did such an amazing sermon, really bridging the scriptures of God's top two commandments of, you know, love God with all of your heart and love your neighbor as yourself, and tying that in with the three-stranded cord and how the Lord has to be a part of this relationship, and we're all stranded together. And it was just such a sweet spiritual ceremony and time with our family. And so it was a great send-off to our lives together. So
even hearing you talk about the wedding reminds me that you both have a strong faith, and Christina and I have the privilege of being in a growth group together. But I don't know all of your story of coming to faith and your journey with Christ. Would you share that with us?
I was really blessed in being in a strong spiritual family. My mother and father, I like to refer to them as Truth and Grace. My mother is Truth. She always just has shown me the importance of God's Word. She loves the Bible so much, and she also showed me what it looks like to have a real close personal relationship with the Lord, and to also instill in us that the Bible is our true north. There's not a one degree to the west, one degree to the east, but it is truly our true north. And so I'm so thankful to her for that. And then for my dad, he is just been such an embodiment of the fruit of the Spirit. And he's shown us so much grace. And I have three other sisters. So to have four girls, we tested him a lot. He was always such a calm steward of the faith, and also such a good steward of the church. From being a deacon all the way to cutting the grass, he was always doing what he could for the church community. And so that was also just such a great example for us. Even though growing up in such a spiritual home, you go to college, you get off of the agape road a little bit. But having that strong foundation and having a mom and dad who are prayer warriors and praying for you has just been so beneficial, because I was able to, you know, really get back in line with the Lord and have a real personal relationship with Him. And I started becoming a part of small groups and met my spiritual mentor, and she helped me really grow in God's Word and then encouraged me to go to a prayer ministry in town. And so we went through this prayer ministry school. It was amazing. My faith grew leaps and bounds, and I was able to even take that curriculum with another ministry I was a part of into Russia. And we held a women's conference, and it was so cool to me to see that even though we're 5,000 miles plus away, that as women, we still have the same heart struggles. We still have the same desire to really know God's word further and to understand our identity as daughters of the King of Kings. And so it was so awesome to be able to share that. And then when the ministry school, when I talked with them, and obviously I got their permission to, you know, have the curriculum, but when I, you know, told them of the experience, they were like, well, you need to teach here. And so I started teaching at the school and have been teaching there for the past 8 years. So it's such a blessing every semester just to teach the class that I teach and to be with men and women who now I can pay it forward, and the things that I've learned and the truth that I've learned about our identity in Christ and the truth of God's word, that I can, you know, pay that forward.
Teach us just one little thing about our identity in Christ.
So really it goes back to what we've even talked about today, and Jesus showcases this so well, because Satan was using the scripture but twisted to make Jesus question his identity. And so what's great is we can combat that with scripture. And so that's one of the main things that I've learned through the school of ministry and also taught, is just really being able to rightly divide God's truth from anything else that comes at you. And that's why it's so important to have God's word in our heart.
Bill, would you tell us a little bit about your foundation of faith?
Like Christina, I was also blessed to have been brought up in a Christian home, and my parents, Paul and Ken, are just wonderful role models, and my brother and I certainly didn't have far that we had to look up to find out what proper living would entail, and not that we were perfect, we were far from it, but we certainly were taught Christian principles early, you know, going from royal ambassadors when I was in like elementary school to choir tours, even throughout high school. We just had a strong foundation, which really was laid by my grandparents and their grandparents. And so it's just quite a testament just to be able to be fortunate, blessed enough to have grown up in that environment.
Speaking of our community of faith, we have been so blessed to have you as members. Tell us about the process of visiting Mountain Brook Baptist and how you decided to make Mountain Brook Baptist home.
For us, we visited a lot of different churches. And let me just say this, we are blessed in this community to have so many awesome churches. What was important for Bill and me is that we were going to a church that was just a strong biblical church that preached God's word in its entirety, and that we were surrounded with genuine Christ followers that love God with all of their heart. And it goes back to the top two commandments, and it's really just loving God with all of your heart and loving your neighbor as yourself. And Mountain Brook Baptist just really embodied all of that for us and made us feel welcome from day one. I was just so, like, felt so encouraged and so blessed to have, like, Pastor Wayne remember my name and these folks that I had just met the Sunday before, and they're like, hey, Christina. And I'm like, it just makes you feel really special. And it's even an encouragement to me to pray, Lord, help me remember names more, just because it does make you feel special. Bill is definitely, from a worship standpoint, more conservative. I'm a little bit more Well, you know, less conservative. So,
meaning you like to raise your hands in worship.
Yes, absolutely. But I'm just a spirited person all the way around.
I love it. So, that's what we love about you.
Yeah. So we're kind of like Miss Piggy and Kermit. You know, like what was great about Mountain Brook too is there's a traditional service, there's a non-traditional service. And even with the traditional service, it's so beautiful, it's so God honoring that we just felt at home, and we were so happy because that had been a tough year of just going to different churches and not sure. And we've just continually prayed about it, and God being faithful led us here, and we're really thankful.
One thing that I've noticed about each of you is you're ready to get engaged in the ministry. Christina, you were all for being in a growth group. And Bill, I see you most Sunday mornings standing at the door greeting. How did you get involved in greeting, and why do you feel like this is an important role for ministry?
When I was a kid, Ed Harbuck was an elder at the First Baptist Church in Shreveport, and he let me stand next to him, and as people were coming in, I got a little taste of what it was like to be a greeter, but it was really just a thoughtful way that Wayne offered just to be able to get to know people. And so it's been fun to help out, when I've been able to.
And it's fun to know that that's kind of full circle, that the Lord used you in that ministry when you were young and now even when you're in your 40s, maybe?
Yeah. Yes.
Tell me a little bit about Bob and what you've learned from him.
Bob is such a friendly person, and he just knows everybody. He knows who they are, their history. Everybody comes up to him, and it just seems like he has been doing this for so long and just is so kind to let somebody like me just come up and try to help out when I can. That we've had a really good time together.
And church sometimes can be an intimidating place. And so, especially with new people coming in, new visitors, to have that first face that greets you be someone that really is shining the light of the Lord, it can be a very comforting feeling right when you walk in. So I think that's what's so important about greeters like Bill.
More Bob.
And Bob.
You too. Like we mentioned, you're a part of a growth group that meets on Thursday. What is the name of the group and how did you get started?
It's the Downtown Growth Group.
This is not a test.
So as we were having lunch with Wayne, I discussed with him an interest that I had in getting connected to a growth group. And so you reached out, and that was just so nice, and told me about this downtown group. And it was great because I work downtown, and so it was really convenient. But just like with any group, even though you may have gone to several before that, there's always just a little bit of an intimidation factor because you're coming into a well-established group of women. And I just have to say, from the first day, everybody was just so kind, so welcoming, and just genuinely excited I was there. And so I just felt like I had been going to this group for years, and that's just always nice. And not only has it given me an opportunity to meet other women that have similar circumstances as I have, we're walking our path of salvation with fear and trembling, but also just dealing with the day-to-day that we deal with as working women. And so it was just awesome from that standpoint, but also even being given an opportunity, being so new to the group, to teach. And I love teaching, and so it's just been nice to be able to do that as well. And everyone in the class teaches, and so it's just this great thing where we can learn from each other.
One question I like to ask is about the Lord's sustaining grace and how He has sustained you in a difficult season or time. Does anything come to mind?
Well, for me, yes, it does. And this is obviously a tough year for everyone, and that was 2020. 2020 was a difficult year in that, well, first off, COVID-19. And then after that, my only child, Genevieve, she went off to college. And so that was very difficult. I became an empty nester. And then toward the end of the year, my father passed away from lung cancer. And he's just always been my go to. His name was Wayne, and I called him Woogle, Wayne Google, because I could go to him for any question. And so it was just a lot of other personal struggles during that year. But the big bright spot to that year was meeting Bill. And there's so many attributes that Bill has that my father had. And so it was really just such a indicator of how perfect God's timing is. In that season, that was the absolute time I needed to meet Bill. And I know that Bill probably thought, wow, she's got a lot of, different things happening in her life. But he was just so gracious, so sweet, and really did show me the Father's love. And in that season, God showed me that he is good and he is loving. And that, as Romans 8:28 says, that he works all things out for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So he was truly faithful in that season.
And Bill, in one of our conversations, I learned that you were able to meet Christina's dad and have good conversation with him. Would you relay some of that?
Sure. It was during COVID, and so it was kind of touch and go whether they would like to have a time to be able to get together in person. But we were able to go down to Loosedale, and I had a great visit with Mr. Brown. I mean, he just was so conversant, and he could talk about a wide variety of topics. And
we really
just had a great time sitting down and chatting. And it's really special just to have the opportunity to meet him and be able to see all the positive things that he was able to do and raise such a daughter as Christina. And so it was really just a great blessing just to have that opportunity.
And he gave me the thumbs up about Bill, so, which is high regards from Dad.
Thank you so much, Bill and Christina, for joining us and for sharing a little bit of your life and faith with us. Christina, would you end our time together with prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so, so much for everything that you've provided for us, dear Lord. We know that you are our Lord of Lords, our King of Kings, our Most High God, our High Priest, and we just praise you and honor you and worship you here today. I thank you so much that you have directed our paths to Mount Brook Baptist. I pray that you would place and station your ministering angels around this church and protect it, dear Lord. And I just pray that you would just give every single person listening, including Bill and me, dear Lord, a continued desire to dig in and read your word. I just pray against any attack from the enemy against us reading your word, dear Lord, and that you would just protect that time every day so that we could again, dive in and understand what you have to say to us through your word, dear Lord. We honor you and we praise you and we thank you for letting us know who we are in Christ and allowing us to know that we are daughters and sons of the Most High God and that we do not have a spirit of slavery, but we have a spirit of sonship in you. We love you and we honor you and we praise you and thank you so much. Amen.